You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Good morning. It's just so great to wake up and look out of the window this morning with Pastor Mike and not seeing buildings and seeing a field and cows. I just felt so much better. I'm coming now from Kansas City, man, and it was tough there. But you know, one thing that I've seen about you guys in this country is you are so blessed. Yes. And I don't know if you really know how blessed you are. You know, this morning going to the Sunday school class here, we don't have things like that in Africa, and just listening to the class, and now it's church, and if you go out of the church, you've got how many channels of Christian TV? Six or whatever. If you don't like that, you can put on the radio, listen to a Christian radio station. If you don't like that, you can go and buy a Christian magazine. If you don't like that and you've got a problem, go and ask Pastor Mike, I've got a problem. What do you think about this? And I think you're not blessed. You're spoiled. You know, and if you go even further and say, okay, funny to say, okay, you guys, who of you guys think you're really wealthy financially? Put up your hands. How many would? But if I say that 2/3 of the world lives on $1 a day, how many people will then put up their hands today? And coming from a continent where I just don't see God's blessings to this continent and see God's blessings pouring out here. It's just amazing. And what's the difference? What's the difference between Africa and America? And I'm just a rancher and a hunter. I mean, I didn't figure out all these things. God is just helping me, and I wasn't at a Bible school and stuff like that. But what God has started telling me is, it all started in Jerusalem, on the cross. And then Jesus started with the disciples teaching them. And he said, take out the word, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the world. And I saw earlier there's a map inside there that you should go and look. Where is Judea? You need to go see where's Samaria. And actually what happened? The message was taken, Judea, Samaria, and go further, go and see Europe. It went into Europe. Now tell me, where do you guys come from originally? Myself, we all come from Europe. With other words, what is it all about? It's about your biblical roots. With other words, if there's an American today that doesn't believe in God, that lives in America, he's riding on the back of Christians. Because his own roots, even if he doesn't believe in God, his roots comes from there. And even if he doesn't believe in God, he still lives by biblical principles. Because his mother taught him not to tell lies. His mother taught him not to steal. He had this loving, caring mother bringing this guy up. That's biblical principles. I don't see that in Africa. But something went somewhere wrong. Because this gospel went to Europe. It worked out. You guys came over from Europe to America. You established America on biblical principles. And that's why this country is prospering so much. But somewhere to other parts of the world, this message didn't go clearly out from Europe to some areas in the world. And Africa is one of them. Something went wrong. I mean, missionaries have been in Africa for 200 years. But there's not fruit there. If you go and look and see what is happening in Africa, people are caught up in bondage. They're caught up in a culture of lies that they believe in. And that is what makes ministry so difficult. And that's why I guess I'm here today in with you guys, is to bring this message of Africa, to come and share with you and that we need you. But perhaps I'm running out. I just want to read a couple of verses out of the Bible here. And then I'll go on with it. I think it's in John. John 14. John 14 verse 15 till 18. It's about Jesus promising the Holy Spirit. You ready? Can I read? Okay. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. Now that last verse there, I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. And it's a promise. It's a promise that Jesus makes. And I would really like to share this morning with you that same promise which I didn't understand for years. And my journey that God walked with me to get to this, to show me this promise at the end. I grew up on a ranch. I was born on a ranch. I had this awesome life as a kid, growing up, horses, hunting, and just had this amazing life. My friends were the people that were working for my parents. They're from the Xhosa tribe. That's the same tribe that Mandela comes from. And so I grew up with these little boys, and they were my friends. And that's just the awesome way how God worked for me growing up with them, because I could learn their language. Because if you're an adult, it's kind of impossible to learn that language. My wife says it's actually physically impossible to speak it. It sounds like this. Now that's the language. And so I grew up never knowing what God's plan is. Anyway, I had this awesome, started hunting. I shot my first animal when I was 4 years old or 5 years old somewhere. And was just had this passion for hunting and the outdoors and all that. And then one day, something really bad happened to me. When I was like 7, 8 years old, I was sent to boarding school. And that was the end of this idyllic life that I had. But I always dreamt, you know, when I'm there coming back for vacations twice a year and stuff like that, and be back to where my passion, my love was. And yes, so I went through school, went and studied, into college, and then came back. And took over the ranch. My father passed away when I was 13 years old. And I had really a great mother who could keep everything together for me to go through and study. And came back to take over the ranch and started ranching. Up to that point, my Christian life, I belonged to the Dutch Reformed Church, which is a very legalistic church. And that kind of church, you know, if you go Sundays to church, the rest of the week you kind of do what you like, you're okay, you know, as long as a pastor see you in church on Sunday. But I always just needed something more than that. It wasn't as if it's enough. And I prayed a lot about it, but I couldn't really get closer to God. And then something significant happened in my life. In 1994... So I was ranching now, and we had this severe drought. I mean, it was really, it didn't rain for about a year. And it's for the first time in my life that I couldn't solve a problem. I mean, we all run into problems from time to time, and there's a way around it. But this one got me, and I saw my whole life going. Because you need to know, what I didn't understand was that I had this relationship with God, so that he can bless me with rain and good prices. Yes. Then I can take care of my family. And I didn't worry much. I didn't want to drive smart cars and have great big houses and go on long vacations. I just wanted God to take care of my family. So I have this good relationship with him and pray and all that. And man, I saw you're going to get over. This ranch cattle is gone. And I start praying and I just broke down in front of God. And God started just showing me that I wasn't real in my relationship with him. It was all about me. It was about myself, this deal I was making with God, without seeing it that way. It's like driving a car and God is sitting next to you. And whenever you get to a crossroad, you stop and you pray and you ask God, okay, left or right. And he always showed me which side. But that night I said, God, I got out of the car. I said, God, you drive this car now. I'll go and sit on the other side. And that night my whole life changed. I just had this burning desire in me to work for him. And it was about him from then on and not me making deals anymore. And that changed my life. And even my church didn't like me anymore because they said I was overboard. So I just started showing the Jesus film in the area and working with people, not knowing much. As I say, I'm just a hunter and a rancher, and that's all. Start working and helping people and all that. And then I went to this area called the Transkei. It's a rural area in South Africa that never was colonized. It's about 300 miles by 200 miles, and there's about a couple of million people living there. So I met a missionary couple there, and I started working there and going there once a year and show the Jesus film and work with the people. And coming back, I think the second time, I just thought, what am I doing? Going there once a year for 4 days, showing the Jesus film, and it was great. A lot of people came, a lot of people got converted. But driving back, you drive village after village, you see people all the time walking. It's not like in America, we don't see people walk. There people walk, they don't drive cars. And statistics telling you that what you see, half is going to die in the next 5 years because of AIDS. And I said, but God, what am I doing? Thinking I can help these people for 4 days in a year. And I just broke down in front of God. And I said, God, but please, there needs to be a bigger plan than this. I'm this lone ranger getting there. What on earth am I doing? And really, my heart just poured out for these people, knowing they live under bondage. And I know they are lost because I know them. I grew up with them. I know they believe that their father and mother, when they die, goes to heaven and they interact with God so that God can bless them here on earth. They take exactly Jesus' place. There is no place for Jesus in their culture because their ancestors is exactly there. And I know it. And I know they're dying. I see them dying. And I thought, God, please, please. And it's an amazing way all this happened. So to get back now for a moment to my ranching, I made the drought. I got through it in an amazing miracle that God gave me a land that I rented from somebody else, and I got through the drought and all that. But then God started speaking in a different way with me because my heart wasn't totally in this ranching anymore. But something funny happened. Thieves, you know, Africa's a bit different than America. Thieves, I was a cattle rancher and a sheep rancher. And thieves start stealing my sheep. They stole 600 sheep from me in 3 years. And I was nearly bankrupt. And the more I prayed, the more I said, God, please help. And things just went wrong. And I read Job a couple of times in that time. Trying to figure out something because I thought I am Job now. And one day, I'll never forget it, I was driving from town coming back home. And in the car, it was just as if God was saying to me, Rufus, stop ranching. That's what I'm trying to tell you. But I think I was a bit spiritually deaf. I was so focused on trying to make a success that I couldn't hear God's voice. And then when I started praying and I seeing, but this is what really what God's want. So at the end, I had two ranches. I sold the one to pay my debts, which I was then terribly. And the other ranch I rented out. And I ended up in a town called Grahamstown. Now you need to remember, that's the first time in my life that I live in a town. And that was really not a good place for me to be at. Here I was sitting with houses next to me, and I had 6 months doing nothing. And actually what I didn't know was God gave me a 6 months vacation. But I didn't use it because I was so stressed up sitting in this town and knowing I need to do something about my family, looking after them and taking care of them, that I didn't enjoy this vacation at all. I was just stressed up. But one good thing came out of that. In that time, I got a book. Then I was start thinking, the only thing I can do is ranching, and the other thing is hunting. And perhaps I should go into professional hunting and getting as a business and become an outfitter. So in that time, I got this book from this guy, Paul Yonggi Cho, who's got the biggest church in the world. Is he from Korea or somewhere? Yeah, and I read this book. And what I read there was really interesting, that he says that you got a passion, and every one of us here today has got a passion, like mine was the outdoors and the hunting, and that passion wasn't just something that you got for no reason. You got that to use for a purpose, and God gave it to you. And you need to use that you have, you need to use it for a purpose and for God's glory. And if you don't do that, you will never ever be happy in your life. I mean, if you have a job, fine, but if this passion of yours, because it was given for you for a reason, and you need to use it. So today, if your passion is music or whatever, you got it from God. I was 43 years old or something when I first understood that this passion is from God. It's not just something. And he had a program, and I prayed through it, and where he kind of helped me. And I got to a point where and of course my passion is now the outdoors. I'm out of ranching, so the only other thing is this hunting. So I was praying about this hunting thing. And I didn't do the course. I mean, nobody can really teach you to hunt, but you need to get the papers to become a professional hunter and an outfitter. So I went and did those courses, and there I was, not thinking ministry. I'm going to go into this business. So what happened was, going into the hunting thing, I saw, man, this is another business. For some reason in Africa, most people in the professional hunting and game industry is crooked. It's funny people. It's people that just parties and other stuff. And I thought, where on earth am I now? And so I started praying and said, but God, could you please send me Christian hunters? Not thinking America now, South Africa. And God sent an American Christian hunter. A guy, Derek Foxdell from Kansas City, a friend of Brian, that came to his DTS with YWAM, and in some miracle way, we met up, and I said to him, please come, I want to see how does a Christian hunter looks like. So he came, and we hunted, and the evenings we fellowshipped. Man, and he said to me, but why don't you get Christian hunters from America? And he says to me, I said to him, but do you have Christian hunters in America? He says, yes, even the pastors hunt there. And, I mean, that was really uncommon for me. And so we talked, and at the end, Brian White, who's also here today, when Derek went back, linked up with Brian, and Brian came over, and actually people like to say, and then all was history. But what actually happened was that my prayer in the trans sky was kind of coming that, because I thought I will end up as a missionary one-on-one in this trans sky area. But God had a totally different plan. And what I started understanding was he was telling me that the needs are in Africa and that the resources are in America. And when he talked resources, he said money is number 4 or 5 on the list. It's about the hearts of the people. And what was funny, it's stuff that I didn't understand at that time. And I came over the first time to America knowing 2 people, Brian and this Derry guy. And that's the only people I knew. And I'm coming here to sell a dream which I don't even understand myself. I mean, and I would speak with people and talk about this need resource thing and doesn't know exactly what God means with it. And it's amazing how God did all of it. And up to today, I mean, this ministry just blew away from that point. But God did it all. Yeah. I was just walking around talking and telling people about it. And to come to the ministry side of it, you know that it's on 2 legs. The one is the orphans, because you know about the AIDS epidemic in Africa. So one of the things that we are doing is feeding orphans and having a soup kitchens and daycare centers and where we take care of them. But and the awesome thing about the orphan side was that it grew so big that we couldn't handle it. I mean, now they're more than 2,000 orphans gets food every day. And, I mean, I couldn't handle it. And amazing way that God brought an organization on board from Kansas City, Oceans of Mercy, which taking care of that now. They've got an office here. They with together with a big church, they got an offer this side, so the money comes in and money's been sent over. There's 2 couples, American Christian couples, with us that side that's running that. And you know what the awesome part is? I mean, it's all happened, but I'm not tied up with it. God made it happen. God sent the people. And that's what I'm trying to want to bring, the message I want to bring to you. It's not how good you are. It's just to be there. I'm just a rancher and a hunter. And how God made it happen that those 2,000 kids get food every day. And you know what? I do nothing. I hang around, talk other stuff, busy with other things for God. And so that thing is running up and doing well. But the sad thing of Africa is the culture. And going back, I mean, feeding these kids, what are you actually doing? I mean, it's like somebody one day said to me, if education is without the gospel, you're only making clever devils and nothing else. And feeding orphans without the gospel is actually scary in a way, because the only thing you do is if they get nutritional food, they get sexually active 2 years earlier. So they have another child to make another orphan. And the important part of bringing the gospel to these orphans is what we call a Bible school. But in a way, it's not really a Bible school the way we understand it. It's more a transformation of people coming to there. Because you need to remember now, if this boy who's 23, 24 years old gets saved, he's got no clue how to live Jesus. Because he comes not from our culture. Because I see it that from our culture, if somebody gets saved, it's fine-tuning from there to operate like a person that is saved. Because you come with his biblical principles anyway. Now you have this guy that doesn't come. He grows up, he's allowed to tell lies. He's allowed to steal. He's allowed to walk down the street, and if he wants sex, call a girl and go around a bush and have sex. That's how they work there. And now he gets saved, but how on earth must he live a saved life. And that's where this Bible school is so crucial, bringing this transformation. And that we saw, and we have this Bible school only 6 months at a time. But it's, I mean, they get up 4 o'clock in the morning, they pray till 7 o'clock, then they have breakfast, then the day starts. On Tuesdays they fast. So we're very much on a spiritual program. It's not only biblical knowledge, because as we always say, you cannot beat the culture only if you have the knowledge, but don't have the spirit to lead you. And that's what the word said here, that God says, Jesus said, I'm sending you the Spirit. And I've seen it. There is no way you can touch that culture without the Spirit.
That's right.
You're wasting your time. And so a lot of emphasis at the Bible school is teaching them and walking this walk that God will touch them and that they will receive the Holy Spirit. And that's why, by the way, I need Pastor Mike 2 weeks in a year to come and help with that Bible school. And because we don't have teachers like him. And I would, even if it takes me to bribe him with a kudu or an animal, it's okay. but we need you there in this process, transforming them. And it's hard.
Yes.
It's not taking somebody and just put them in a Bible school. And he comes out and everything is okay and you can just use him. And the other thing that we saw is that after 6 months, it's actually not enough, because this culture is so hard. It's very, I don't want to compare it with Muslims, but if you don't take part in their rituals and their sacrificing of animals and all that, you're kicked out of the family, because you don't believe in this. And how do you bring transformation where the culture needs to be changed? Because if, or 80% of the culture, because they always talk about missionaries going somewhere, respect the culture, respect the culture. But if the culture is not biblical, I won't respect it.
That's right.
And I got fed up of it in Africa.
Yeah.
And the parts of the culture that is biblical, fine, I don't have a problem with that. But to bring this change is not easy. It takes a lot of effort to get there. But that's the amazing thing that's busy happening is in Africa, I always joke with you Americans, I say, you are so organized here in America that when things go wrong, you just organize it right. We're not so organized in Africa, we just pray. And we see the miracles. So when we get stuck, we just pray. And it's just awesome to see how God's hand is working in Africa, how he's changing it, how much people have come out of this culture. I mean, I can tell you stories forever. We have this one lady, Venus. Now, Venus was, we got her on the streets. She was selling cabbages for her life. I mean, and she would make, I don't know, $1 or whatever a day profit. And that's what all, and she lived in a shack. That was all her life was about. Nothing else. With other words, in human terms, you can kind of say useless.
Yeah.
We got her, and she came to our Bible school. What we found out after some time, and she got saved. Okay, most of these kids get saved in the Bible school.
Yeah.
They come there to go to the Bible school, but they're not even saved. But then God saves them there. But this Venus lady, what we found out was that she, after some time, that she has this awesome gift for children. She just loves children so passionately. But the unique thing was, children loved her with her doing nothing. She would walk into this room and it won't take her long. She'll sit there and it won't take her long. You'll see a group of children around her. God just gifted with it. She didn't even know about it when she was selling cabbages. And God transformed her life so much. And she is running now a little orphanage with children. And how God just transformed her. We have this other guy, Moses. Brian knows him well. Now Moses, he grew up on the street. When he was 8 years old, he was on the street. He was a beggar all his life. in the streets and was into drugs and all that and smoked marijuana. He actually still brags about it, that the first month that he was at Bible school, he was still smoking marijuana. But to see Moses today, this awesome young man, bold for Christ. I mean, he don't stand back. And I mean, he goes into villages and preach and bring the gospel. But he was a street kid, you know. And for us to, who's working with this, to experience how God is changing Africa little by little, is an awesome privilege. It's such a big privilege. And the other thing, and Brian would also tell you what, and we talked about it the other day, what's amazingly what happened, and that's why I'm not here today to ask money. I'm here today to ask you, if it's on your heart, come and see for yourself. Yes. Take that money and buy for a ticket and come and see. Because what we thought is this needs and resources thing is that God wants you guys for the resources there. But what we found out, you'll come back and you'll never be the same again. This logo here, a life-changing experience. We thought it's a good name, it's a good, sounds good. So we got that. God made it truth. Nobody comes back the same. And what's amazing to see is how much, when you go and help in Africa, how much God blesses you, how much He changes your life. And that just happens all the time, and this transformation that's busy happening both sides, changing American people, but also changing Africa. And it's such a privilege to walk this walk. But it's not always easy. I mean, to get funding for orphans is easy. I mean, you just need to see a little boy, American just needs to see a little boy or girl crying, and they give money. Or looks a little bit dirty or whatever. So that funding just pours in. But it's that's only treating the symptoms. The root is to evangelize, to make disciples. That's the root. And it's for me really sad, and I know your church is different, but it's for me really sad how much money and funding goes out of Africa for out of America for humanitarian work, and not for the gospel to go and evangelize and make disciples. And we're with our Bible school, the orphans are running away from our Bible school. We cannot produce enough students out of our Bible school to go and work with those orphans to bring the gospel to them, because that's what it all is going to be. Because at the end, we're looking so forward one day for when those orphans grow up that they will come to the Bible school. And then we're anyway going to get a better, call it product, if a Bible school student worked with those orphans than what we're getting at the moment. It's crazy. But I mean, just God can do this. Some of the people that comes to this, I mean, I had it now. My wife had to set up with it that we started with new students. The student, one of them, wandered off now a week ago and got some marijuana and drank, and he came back. And he was chasing the other students around with a knife. And my wife had to deal with this stuff, you know. And I feel so bad about it, but I mean, this is Africa. But still, to see with all these things happening, how God is changing Africa, how and God's blessings pouring in on this, and how you can see, because 10 years ago, 15 years ago, South Africa wasn't like this, and it's changing. But this whole amazing thing of God taking Americans, South Africans, black and white, doesn't matter, color, putting this whole world force together for a purpose. And in the beginning, using hunting for it. So you don't need to be a hunter to come. That's also need to tell you. Because what we saw was that God used the hunting in a unique way of getting not hundreds of people over, but people that he handpicked in Africa. And he brought them over, and they could make the difference and bring the message back so we could establish this Bible school and this orphans that we're running. And now you don't need to be a hunter. If you're not a hunter, you can still come and do missionary work. And God is using many ways, whatever your passion is and your gifts are, to change. And what a privilege just to be part of it. And yes, that's actually the message I want to bring to you today, and just wanted to thank you for the chance to share my heart and to tell you what God is busy doing in the world. Thank you so much.